B-Pod Studios.
Hey, this is WWE Hall of Famer and Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle, and you're listening to the Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast with James Stewart and Mike Riley. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Mike Riley, let's open with SummerSlam, because why not? Yes, we're obsessed with SummerSlam and the fact that we're both still angry that SummerSlam isn't going to be in Boston this year. It's going to be nowhere in the Northeast, because the reporting is that WWE tried different venues in the Northeast and got told no. So we say that to say we got good interest in the Zoom call.
Yeah.
So there'll be more details on that coming soon. So thank you for your interest on that. WWE is going to be doing SummerSlam on August 23rd and Payback on August 30th. So that's the first time that they've done consecutive or successive weekends of pay-per-view since 1991, this Tuesday in Texas, which we talked about recently, which is available in the archives of. So there's gossip on the internet that WWE is trying to find a location for SummerSlam. And one of those things was having SummerSlam on a boat. I'm against this, but I mean, it's frustrating. It's frustrating what's going on in the world right now. And in part, SummerSlam on a boat is a bad idea, because Kayla Braxton is going to go party on this boat and she's going to get it for a third time. And I shouldn't make light of that, but I mean, it's just bad, right? It's a bad idea to do it on a boat. But they're continuing to look for a venue for this. So as of today, SummerSlam is still scheduled for the Performance Center. The TV tapings are still at the Performance Center, but they're looking for a beach. They're looking for a boat. They're looking for something to do SummerSlam differently. And they're obsessed with doing SummerSlam differently, which I appreciate that they're trying, but SummerSlam is going to be at the Performance Center come hell or high water, it seems. I mean, that's what it's leaning towards. So that's my frustration with SummerSlam. That's my frustration with the wrestling world right now. That's my frustration with the world right now, is that we can't do anything in public. So let's actually talk about Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre, which Mike, is where you want to start.
Yeah, and actually, just real quick, back to SummerSlam and the boat. Doesn't Vince McMahon own a yacht? He's got to own a yacht. I know he's got his own little yacht there, like John Henry has in the Boston Harbor or something.
It's probably in Connecticut.
Yeah.
It's probably in Connecticut.
So that's
Connecticut won't let you do anything.
No, they're very tight now. Yeah. Okay. I don't know.
Because if it's Connecticut, you have to go through permits and all this stuff. In Connecticut, it's not going to let you. Like,
it's almost as bad as Boston, Connecticut.
Well, and supposedly they went through a bunch of different Northeast venues, which I don't know which ones. I can guess which ones, but I don't know. And the governors and mayors and leadership all said no, which I don't blame them for saying no.
It can happen. Yeah.
Sucks. But it's still frustrating.
Like, the fact that
this is the thing. Like, I understand the way of the world right now. I'm very frustrated with the situation in the world right now.
It sucks. And if we're all going to bitch and moan together, if we're going to have the same feelings, let's all do it together, because it's, you know, at least they're trying to be creative over it. There's not a lot of time to get a permit or some sort of approval.
There's plenty of time. It's just people don't want to do it. And I understand why they don't want to do it. I understand.
Yeah. All right, Randy Orton, you ready?
Yeah, go ahead. This is your lead-off thought, Randy Orton and McIntyre.
So first of all, I think Randy Orton has been great on the microphone. The big, you know, I try to compare he and Seth Rollins to the microphone, which Seth Rollins talks all the time and just doesn't do it for me. But Randy Orton, he can be short and sweet, and he makes a huge impact right there. I go to that for his promo this past week on Raw, where he mentions The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin. And yes, you know, he's been the best heel in WWE since the start of this pandemic. So I think it's a great spot for Drew McIntyre right here to go up against Randy Orton, a well-seasoned vet, a very well-established, you know, superstar. He's got a lot of title reigns. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I did say that I would be okay if Randy Orton is to beat Drew McIntyre at SummerSlam, but I got a flip flop on that, and I'm not being a I'm trying not to be a politician here, but I will say that I think it's more important than ever before for Drew McIntyre to hold on to the championship at SummerSlam. And I think we saw phase one of that, why he will hold on to it at SummerSlam. Now, Randy Orton did give him the RKO out of nowhere this past week. So I don't know. I just, there's a lot of times where, you know, whoever gets the first hand on you there, they're going to lose down the line. So I think that's step one right there of him not beating Drew McIntyre. But for Drew to have this build up here and for him to have that moment at the Royal Rumble, and yes, the big difference without a crowd right now, he needs to hold on to this reign. He's been a great representative for the title without the crowd at the Performance Center. He's earned it. And I think that, you know, if Orton is to do it, sure, maybe shake things up a little bit. I understand that, but I think it's too early right now for Drew McIntyre to lose. He needs to build up the importance of his dominance right here. And this will be the biggest win for him thus far when he does beat, if he does beat Randy Orton at SummerSlam, because Randy Orton, of course, coming off that win against Edge, that the greatest wrestling match ever. And just to continue to build up his character here, he cannot lose to some at SummerSlam, and he has to hold that title for, I mean, maybe until WrestleMania next year, maybe. I think that's how important Drew McIntyre is for WWE right now. So give him the run that he's earned.
McIntyre's biggest wins were the Rumble and eliminating Brock Lesnar and beating Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. SummerSlam beating Randy Orton is just like another, it's just marking up your bedpost. That's all it is. It's just putting another tally mark on the bedpost. I don't want the title on Randy Orton. He doesn't need it. The long-term goal is McIntyre. Let him run with the title until we have fans back. The Ziggler upset, like, no one was going to call that. That was personal and selfish to me and really to us.
Yep.
That's why I was pushing for it, because nobody was going to call Dolph Ziggler winning. He won one match all year. It's against either Otis or his partner or, you know, whoever. For me, McIntyre's the champion until further notice. Which brings up to me, like, the only if you're going to beat McIntyre, Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe are the only two performers that interest me in doing that. Mm-hmm. And neither one of them are going to get it, because Joe's stuck at the commentary desk and Kevin Owens is a tremendous performer, but Vince loves him, hates him.
So weird.
You know, they're both outstanding in the ring. They're great promos. Vince doesn't like how they look. And Owens had what I would call a wonderful run as Universal Champion, but I never felt like Vince was 100% behind it. And as soon as he saw Goldberg, he's like, oh, I want to make Goldberg the Universal Champion. And I don't know if Vince wanted to do that, but Goldberg still got value. You know, and Samoa Joe, fabulous match with Brock at Great Balls of Fire, had a good series of matches with AJ for the championship, but Vince wasn't going to put the WWE title on Samoa Joe, even if Joe and Kevin Owens, they both check boxes. Like, Joe checks Vince's boxes, promos, good in the ring, good, just but he doesn't have the look that Vince wants. So I look at the WWE landscape and I think, who should be WWE or Universal Champion? So my list,
mm-hmm.
Strowman, fine, McIntyre, fine, Owens and Joe I mentioned. Lashley with MVP as a mouthpiece would be okay by me. Seth Rollins as a bad guy might work, but we've already seen it.
Yeah.
Messiah Seth Rollins, a little different than corporate Seth Rollins, but we've already seen it. Randy Orton, meh. Like, I don't want him being a 14-time champion, a 15-time champion. I don't want to discuss Randy Orton as, like, greatest performer ever of this generation.
Right.
And even though his resume would dictate that he is one of the great performers, I don't feel it. That's like the Sean Brett thing. Like, I'm a Brett guy through and through. Sean can mm-hmm. be top whatever performer. I'm a Brett guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, do you want to see Andrade pull an upset on Drew McIntyre?
Eh, no. Not yet.
Okay. Here's my thinking on this. Zelina Vega can talk for Andrade.
Mm.
And you can have them cheat for a while to hang on to the title. One of the best matches in WWE NXT history was Andrade and Gargano at NXT Phoenix. People sweat that match. but you can rerun, as you know, being the NXT honk that you are, you can rerun Andrade beating Drew McIntyre seemingly out of nowhere at War Games in Houston, right?
If they have it there.
And you can run it from there. Now, this is 97.
Excuse me. If they, I'm
2017.
Thinking of, yeah, excuse me. Yeah, yeah. Now I'm thinking of the upcoming one. If they do it again, rewrite history this upcoming fall. Yeah, right. Sorry.
But
yeah.
You can go back in history and redo Andrade beating McIntyre because sure. that has happened.
Sure.
And you could tell a variation of that story.
Right, right.
You know, The Fiend makes sense. And yes, it writes a number of perceived wrongs, right?
Right.
Even though I agree with The Fiend beating John Cena at WrestleMania is a big deal. But if Bray doesn't lose to Goldberg at the Saudi show, Bray then loses to Roman at WrestleMania. So what's a bigger deal? Bray beating Goldberg on a random Thursday or beating Cena at WrestleMania? It's beating John Cena at WrestleMania because more people are going to see it.
Right.
So just to continue with the list, it's AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, Kofi, Roman, Brock. They're all people we've seen recently with runs. I'd love The Miz as champion, but he's doing a TV show.
Yep. Yep.
You know, we talked about Big E in depth. Start the build now. But Big E is a 5 to 8 month plan. And so, you know, just the last little bit of my list here is, do you bring up somebody to shock the system? Do you have Adam Cole jump Drew McIntyre again? And this time he, you know, because people forget that, and I forgot this. The night Drew McIntyre won the NXT title, Adam Cole jumped him.
Mm-hmm.
And took the shine off of Drew McIntyre.
Right.
So
right.
Do you replay that story? Does Tommaso Ciampa, now that everything's at the Performance Center, chase a new Goldie?
There you go.
Do you have Keith Lee lose to Killer Cross? And now Keith Lee is on Raw or SmackDown.
Great scenarios. The overall point here is that Drew McIntyre needs to continue to be the top babyface. He has to be. And that's why he has to hold on to this title here. And you're right. Randy Orton, 14-time champion. Great. Good for him. I don't think anyone would really care. I don't think they would. So unbelievable storylines you're throwing at us here. It's spaghetti against the wall. Let's see what sticks. But that is why Drew needs to hold on to the title to have more of these heels develop and have a chance to go for the gold.
Here's the issue, and here's why Randy Orton probably wins the title at SummerSlam.
Oh, God.
What's the business? It's business, right? Yeah. Ratings, right? And I haven't looked at the specific Randy Orton trends, but if Ric Flair's managing Randy Orton,
right,
you have two established longtime stars that 50-plus demographic recognizes and will fall asleep watching Raw. But to the point, Randy Orton's an established star. Ric Flair is an established star.
Right.
Drew McIntyre needs time. And this is the whole Eric Bischoff theory of what are the stakes? And this is my advocacy for McIntyre to hang on to the title for a while, right? Is you have to long-term plan something. Is there a dream match for Drew McIntyre right now? No, because we're in a pandemic and this, that, and the other thing, right? So their ratings are terrible right now. They're the lowest that they've been in years.
It's really bad.
And so what do? You pull out all the stops. You pull out everybody who's available. And Randy Orton is a proven draw. Who's available? And that's why, unfortunately, because there's a business aspect to it. And long-term storytelling be damned, seemingly. Or long-term build for something be damned. And that's why Randy Orton is probably going to win at SummerSlam. But that's the business that they're in. They need TV ratings because that's all they have.
So Raw this past week, down from the week of July 20th there, it drew an average of 1.6 million viewers. That is the second lowest number of all time. And it's only ahead of the July 13th episode, which drew 1.5 million viewers. So it's bad right now. And Jimmy, I think we're both in agreement that it's only going to get worse because in a perfect world, if the NFL is to return, you just know Monday Night Football is going to be there. I don't think the NFL is coming back for a while. That's my personal opinion. Story for another day. We know the NBA has returned. That's going to take precedence. The NHL is back. That'll take precedence. And sure, we'll see how much longer Major League Baseball will be around. That'll take precedence. Oh, and by the way, speaking of presidents, there's probably going to be a debate or two on a Monday night. Raw might be toast.
Well, they can get Biden out of his basement and do a Zoom call with him, right? Is that how they can do the debate?
You're on a tear tonight.
Yeah, I'm just angry. So, but Mike, I have good news. This will save the WWE. I'm here to save the WWE. I am Chris Jericho, 1999, a year that you didn't like Chris Jericho, and that's fine. The draft is coming back. There are reports that the WWE draft was going to be in October, but now it might be in September. So the draft will save everything because, God, they need to redraft these rosters. Name me one dream match that you're looking forward to right now. Yeah, that's right. You can't. Here's the thing. Like, these drafts usually do well. So, like, they'll do it and just, you know, don't replay the Fox robot celebrating. Mm-hmm. Don't redraft the stupid draft rooms like you did last time. Ugh. Just have them come out and you draft and you don't need the podium there. Fine. Yeah. Who's the long-term guy to carry WWE?
I mean,
who's the mainstream guy? Bruno Sammartino, Pedro Morales, Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, The Rock, Steve Austin, John Cena. What they wanted Roman Reigns to be, what some would argue Charlotte Flair is. Mm-hmm. Who's that?
We don't know.
Becky Lynch, by the way, was that too.
Yep.
And I mean, they bought Ronda Rousey, Brock Lesnar. You can debate whether he's a draw or not.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the guy?
You got to go down to the NXT, I'd say. I mean, I can't off the top of my head. Right, if you're going to go to right now, Adam Cole, Keith Lee. I don't know. I who do you got?
That's the problem, Mike.
Yeah, I can't.
The people that I think can draw money, they don't think can draw money, and that's the issue. That's why I mentioned somebody like Samoa Joe. That's why I mentioned Kevin Owens.
Right.
You know, everybody loves AJ Styles. AJ Styles was one of the lowest drawing champions, mm-hmm. and he had the belt for like 360 days or something like
full
that.
Year. Yeah.
So he had it for a while. So now I have to look at the roster and go, who's really a draw? Like, right. We love the Kofi run, right? Sure. Kofi run was great.
Good storytelling. You were
entertained by it and all that stuff. And then Brock comes out of nowhere, squashes him in 7 seconds because they're trying to pop a rating for that first SmackDown.
On Fox,
they wanted something different. And then they moved Brock to Raw and in Kane Velasquez and this and that.
Got a mess. Just a mess.
So it's like, who is that person? And the answer is that they don't have anybody because they don't want to be patient enough to build to anybody.
And you know what? And again, the story of 2020 is, yes, the fact without an audience here, you're also not able to build up someone natural with the crowd reaction that we saw from Becky, that we saw from Austin 316, that we got from The Rock for many years. And even Roman Reigns, for Vince stuffing him down your throat and the fans reacting to a boo with him, you knew. So they rebelled against him. And yes, you don't have that chance for the crowd to give you that. And yeah, I know the sponsors are going to have a say and so forth, but that is not helping them here as well. It's killing them. So
the problem with Roman is they were a year too late. They should have done it the year Batista won, right?
Yep. Chip sailed. Because
they wanted Daniel Bryan. They wouldn't give him Daniel Bryan. So then Batista wins, and they should have done Roman there. So they were a year late on Roman, right?
Yep. Right.
But then it goes back to, like, how long did it take for Becky to get cemented where she could win the main event in WrestleMania? It was about 2 years, 18 months?
It was a long time.
Austin, King of the Ring, was 96.
Yes.
Austin won the world title in 98.
Mm-hmm. That's almost 2 years later.
Right?
Yeah.
If my
no, you're right. It was
right.
June of 96 and March 98. Yeah. Almost 2 years.
How long did it take New Day to establish themselves as a top draw?
Probably about a year.
It took them at least a year.
Yeah.
So, like, these things take time.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you're an established, like, if you're Ronda Rousey and you've done movies and you've done all the go back to The Rock. And mm-hmm. and again, I'm mentioning top guys, top people,
because
that's what you need right now, is you need top established stars.
Exactly.
And The Rock got shoved to the moon in 96, and then 97 Intercontinental title, he gets hurt. They're chanting "Die Rocky Die." I feel like I've done this already.
Yep,
but then he comes back, talks in third person, and now the sky's the limit for The Rock, and now he could run for office and he'd probably win.
yeah, he would.
But he doesn't want to take the pay cut, right?
Yep.
So that's what they have to do. And if they believe in Drew McIntyre, leave it on Drew McIntyre.
Right.
And see what happens. If they believe in Bray Wyatt, leave it on Bray Wyatt. See what happens. If they believe in whoever it is, keep trying. Like, this is an opportunity to try things. But I still think that if they gave, but I guess the difference now is wrestling, and maybe this is part of it, is hardcore fans will tell you, oh, well, we want the 5-star matches.
Right.
But what drew you into Hulk Hogan was the promo.
Exactly.
What drew you into Steve Austin and The Rock was the promo, and there were good promos. Randy Savage, good promo.
Yep.
If you want to go the ECW route, Shane Douglas' match were hit or miss, but he would talk you into the building.
Good on the mic.
Taz was a great promo.
Yep.
Hogan turning villain with Scott Hall.
Yep.
You can do all these different things with the promo. There are exceptions to people who don't get over. Goldberg had a great run, couldn't cut a promo. Mm-hmm. Those are the exceptions. Rob Van Dam even had his issues with promos, but he was still, because he was such a unique personality, and he could do things athletically that couldn't be topped, and they were innovative for the time. It was Sabu, and I'm on an ECW kick, and you'll find out why later. Mm-hmm. But all those guys, they were unique to the era. Now the problem is that Cedric Alexander, Ricochet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There are a number of people who can do all these athletic things. This is why Seth Rollins, I think, had his struggles in the main event as a good guy.
Yep.
And in had a tough time in spots in matches as a bad guy, because he is an aerial wrestler. Finn Balor is an aerial wrestler. So you have to take those things away that pop the crowd, and you have to focus more on character. And the character is what you talk them into the building. That's the old saying.
Exactly. And
so I love some of these guys. I love Finn Balor. I think he's a tremendous performer. I think if they gave him a chance to, this is the knock on Cesaro, right? Mm-hmm. He can't talk, but he can do everything else well. Well, he actually can talk. Vince just doesn't like his accent.
Because he puts makes him in the tag team, no individual run. He could be a great champion. He'd be a great individual champion. And no, you're right. The accent kills him. Killer. So that's out. Maybe if he had an Irish accent, he may put him in there. But, it's what it is, right?
And so that is, size people or accents or whatever. That's how Vince judges these things.
Yeah.
And he's the guy who signs the check. He's been right a lot, but that's what they need to go. And I think that's what they're trying to do now. And that's part of the success of Sasha and Bayley. Like, Sasha can work. Bayley's kind of hit or miss.
Yeah.
But their work on the mic has been top notch this recent run. As I mentioned before, Asuka was a silent assassin for 814 days. She loses to Charlotte.
Right.
And she, I would argue, is more over now, because her character has been developed more now than it was at the time that she lost to Charlotte. But that's what it is. It's about character development, and they just don't have that big star character. And that's kind of the issue, and maybe why we don't have that. And that's why Brock Lesnar, because he has Paul Heyman, is still with the title and does promos and all that stuff.
And I'm a firm believer that if SummerSlam were to have been in front of a crowd, then Drew McIntyre would have fought Brock Lesnar. But Brock Lesnar's too big for the Performance Center. It's just not going to happen. Why bring him in for something like that where there's no crowd? So wait it out until, you get the audience.
Yeah, and we might not see Brock for a while, because there doesn't seem like there's going to be a Saudi show.
No.
And they're not getting out of the Performance Center anytime soon.
They're trapped. They're trapped in Orlando.
And that's how it is. Don't go on a party boat and have 30-year performers test positive, supposedly.
Right. But it's okay to do SummerSlam on a boat, though.
Yeah, don't do SummerSlam on a boat either. I don't want to hear about Kayla Braxton doing nipple shots off of people.
Oh, jeez.
There's 7 things that have gotten me in trouble.
I was about to say, you're about to, we going for 10 now?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Get the over-under. I feel like CM Punk fighting The Undertaker at WrestleMania 29. So we've crushed WWE. Oh, by the way, one thing I did like on WWE, I liked how Sasha stole the title. I liked how Sasha Banks won the women's title on a countout. I thought that was very weaselly.
So I hated that, how she won on the countout. I thought that was weak. I think it's important for her to be a champion, and I love how, you know, her and Bayley are taking all the titles and everything. And I will say this: Sasha, Bayley, Randy Orton. I'd say in no particular order, those are the three most important people in WWE right now. And yes, it's huge for her to have it, but I hated the count out there. I think that's just so weak. Go for the pin on Asuka. I don't know. I mean, Asuka, what's that, the second time she's lost to Sasha in 2 weeks, essentially, when you think about it?
Well, I mean, Bayley did count her out.
Right.
It does. The fall, so.
I do get it. It makes sense for her to, you know, to be cheap and to win like that there. But come on. Win, you know, go for the pin or a submission or something. Make it more of the bank statement. Give her the bank statement there. More powerful moment right there. Just absolutely. I don't know. Asuka, I thought this was a chance for WWE to make her that, you know, at that elite level again, where she was on her way to WrestleMania 34 with Charlotte before she lost to her. But they're not doing that, obviously, which I'm fine with. I have no issue with Sasha winning, but they threw away that opportunity right there with Asuka. And the fact that she wanted a count out, I don't like that.
I'm going to start calling you Mark Riley, because you just marked out for a villain winning a championship in an underhanded way. That's the exact reaction that WWE wants.
And that is the fan that they exactly. That's how I am. And that's how it is. So look at me. I do it all the time, Jimmy. I'm a believer in that.
Well, it's because we care. We care. We're invested in the product. We care about the product. And that's why we have these reactions.
Children under six listening. I believe in Santa for a long time. Okay, go ahead.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, yeah.
But that's the whole point, is that, and this is emotional investment. We've talked about this a lot.
Yes.
Emotional investment in characters and results, and look, the belt, their belts now, right? Like they're props. They can be lost. R-Truth can get pinned in a mixed tag with McIntyre, and Drew loses the WWF title, right?
Right.
So they're pulling out different stops and different stipulations because they're trying to create moments that are there to get you emotionally invested, because they're worried about their TV ratings. Because I'm sure that there's some sort of out that they're worried about in USA Network's contract or Fox's contract. And they're going to be the most profitable they've ever been this year. That's what they're on pace for. And they want to keep that up for the next 4 years, because that's how long the contract is. And then they need to get a new contract. Otherwise, you know, depending on where we are in the world, there might not be a next contract. Right. Or Vince might sell, or Vince might not be with us, or whatever the case may be. So they have to figure out something, and it starts with finding that mainstream crossover star.
Correct.
And that's promos, and that's why I think like The Miz should have another crack at it with the WWE title, because he's doing these USA shows.
Yep.
So there's good cross promotion there. You know, one of the things that helped with getting Evolution, the all women's pay-per-view all those years ago, was the success of Total Divas and Total Bellas, is they had a different audience that they were hoping to cross over. And I know people who would watch Divas who wouldn't watch the other stuff, but then they're like, oh, they're actually doing a fight. Okay, I'm in.
100%. And yeah, just go back to even, you know, the late 80s, early 90s with Hulk Hogan at Hollywood. He made movies there. He was a pop culture icon. And sure, John Cena too. Yeah, he's gone on to the movies aspect of things. You're right. That's a huge thing right there. Great opportunity right here without an audience. But yes, they're doing their time in Hollywood. Miz is a perfect example, and it makes the most sense for them to do that. It's funny you said that, because I thought he'd be a really good, and you know that he can be a great hybrid as a face or a heel. He's done the heel champion before. It's worked. I thought it was a very good heel champion. I was furious when he beat John Cena at WrestleMania 27. I was really mad about that.
Worst WrestleMania ever in Atlanta.
9 was pretty bad. No. WrestleMania 2000, I was really mad about that ending. Mick Foley got screwed. I was furious at that one. I think that was the worst one. Yeah.
Yeah, and there was, my friend was blaring Triple H's song on my way home. Yeah.
Oh, terrible.
Leaving my friend's house, and my other friend, who I would usually get a ride home from, is blaring Triple H's song, and I'm like, I'll walk home. I'm good.
Terrible. Yeah.
You can go get bent.
Yeah. Love it. I love it.
I used more colorful language.
Actually, 11 was pretty bad too. Hartford, LT, yeah. And M.M. Bigelow.
I didn't mind that one. I hated the WrestleMania in Atlanta just because they Punk versus Orton was the best match on the show, which is fine. The Undertaker Hunter match sucked.
See, I actually didn't mind that. It had me.
Yeah, the you would. You'd be fine with that match because it's the Undertaker. Ooh,
you're damn right.
The Undertaker and the Undertaker won again at WrestleMania.
He did, but it didn't feel like one.
Yeah, but that WrestleMania was just a build to Miami, which was a great Fair. WrestleMania that I was at.
And that was a great Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah, Mike, you should be insulted that they wasted a WrestleMania to build for the next one.
I know. And I'm even more insulted that they wasted that 40-man Royal Rumble here in Boston to get to that WrestleMania 27.
Oh, and they wasted on Alberto Del Rio.
I know. A 40-man Royal Rumble. It's like, come on. You kidding me? And Kevin Nash gets the biggest pop of the night with Booker T. Two guys. It's like, yeah, it was. It sucked.
Oh, Del Rio won a Rumble. I was that gross.
I know. It's like, it was bad. Terrible. So, anyway. How's he doing?
Not great, but
yeah, I don't think so.
I haven't seen him on TMZ lately, so that's a positive, right? Do you want to bash AEW?
Go ahead, let's go.
Can I bash AEW?
Please.
All right. AEW really pissed me off this week. I mentioned a few episodes ago that I thought AEW screwed up Taz giving the FTW championship to Brian Cage. It just didn't make logical sense to me based on the history of that title. And so I was frustrated by that. So I was kind of poking around their roster. Kenny Omega, right? Who has main evented three of their pay-per-views and is a former IWGP champion. That's the New Japan Championship, which many of you know. He has the most wins with 27 in AEW. And he's stuck in a tag team as a tag team champion with Adam Page. And they had a great tag team match back in February.
Mm-hmm.
But Kenny Omega just doesn't feel special to me week to week. He feels like he's just another guy. And I had a friend text me asking, what's the difference between Kenny Omega and Jerry Lynn?
What is it?
And I thought about it for a second, and I was a little bit insulted by the question, but then I thought about it for a second. And it's Kenny Omega was featured in New Japan, Jerry Lynn wasn't. But they have more similarities than I initially thought about.
Okay.
So I wasn't as insulted by it, but in the global ECW world of Van Dam, Jerry Lynn, Kenny Omega is above Jerry Lynn, but he's under Rob Van Dam, right?
Yep.
Because I love Rob Van Dam.
Okay.
But Kenny Omega doesn't feel special to me. And I think part of the reason why he doesn't feel special to me is that he's not given the proper amount of feature time. And I just feel like Kenny Omega, from a match perspective, should be in the main events. He should be in the world title picture. And he was against Jericho. And he was in a main event. I mean, he's been in main events, but I look at him as this, to steal his phrase, best belt machine, right? We were at BU. We saw him against Joey Janela, unsanctioned match, fabulous match. Joe Murray's favorite match of 2019, I believe. Joe Murray from over on your.
Yes, it was his favorite one. Yes.
Yeah, and he was there live. Yep. He loved it. His, Joe's more of a casual with some background, and that was his favorite match, a Kenny Omega match.
Yep.
But I don't feel like we have enough of those special matches with Kenny Omega in AEW.
Right.
I just feel like I should be seeing more Kenny Omega in the title picture, even if he's challenging Cody, even if he's got Cody's belt.
Thank you.
But the tag team thing just doesn't sing to me. It's not singing to me.
Yep.
And that's notwithstanding the match with the Young Bucks, which was fabulous.
Yep.
Sean Spears, a black glove, is going to turn him around. The best thing Sean Spears has is Tully Blanchard, right? And Tully is limited. Is Jake Roberts still around? Is he still managing Lance Archer?
Yep. What happened?
Is that still a thing? Is it on the YouTube show?
Yep.
Zack Ryder, the artist formerly known as Zack Ryder, comes into AEW programming with Cody, and he's automatically thrown right into a Cody thing. And this is a bigger thing. Brody Lee, Brian Cage, Lance Archer, all people, Jake Hager, are all people from other companies who come in and they're put into title fights with John Moxley.
Yep.
They walk in and they're basically like, here's John Moxley, here's the champion, let's go. And John Moxley, WWE Hall of Famer Dean Ambrose, why is he fighting MJF at the next pay-per-view?
I'm sorry, did you just say WWE Hall of Famer Dean Ambrose?
Yeah, because he's going to be in the WWE Hall of Fame eventually.
With the Shield.
With the Shield.
Okay, all right. Yeah, with the
they're
going to
go in
yeah.
as the Shield.
Individual, strong, but Shield, okay.
But he's going to be a Hall of Famer. It's going to be Roman, Seth, and Dean Ambrose. Like, they are arguably, if they're not the greatest faction in WWE history, they are a top five faction, right? So that's a Hall of Fame berth.
Because
remember like a year or two years ago, they did this factions gimmick
on their
social media, and they're like, oh, the Shield is number one.
Right.
And you can just poke holes at it, Four Horsemen, Evolution, all this other.
Right.
They're just propping up their shield.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
You know, those who win wars get to tell you what history is. And those who choose to do research on it can actually tell you what real history is.
Well, this is true. I thought you were going to say individually, but yes, as the faction in the Shield, 100% Hall of Fame, no doubt.
The internet is a powerful thing, and if people know how to properly research things, they can find out what's real and what's fake.
This is true.
So MJF, he's 22. Let him breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Wait for when we get crowds back to put the title on him. MJF was hit with a drink because he threw in the towel on Cody Rhodes.
Yep.
When he wins the title, I'd like to see an organic, hateful moment in front of crowds. MJF fighting Moxley is way too soon, and I'm supposed to believe that Cage, Lee, Archer can't beat Moxley, but MJF can?
Yeah.
If MJF wins the title, and we feel like he's going to.
Without question.
He's going to cheat, and how he's going to cheat. He's going to use the Warlord, the Warlock, whatever his bodyguard's name is. I mean, that's clear, but he lost to Cody in a cage.
Right.
When we had crowds.
Right.
Right. So his credibility, I question. And Jake Hager, I love Jim Ross. Jim Ross is the greatest. He's the voice of wrestling. I love his podcast. I love my interactions I've had with Jim Ross.
No, he's a man.
Can somebody remind Jim Ross that Jake Hager is 38 and he actually never reached his full potential in pro wrestling?
Mm.
Like, yeah. He was the world champion. He cashed in on Jericho after the WrestleMania in Phoenix. And what happened to him then? Nothing.
Buried.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Just nothing.
Nothing.
Like, he did the We the People thing, and we liked that. And Chris Jericho made sure to kill that right off.
Great theme song, too. Just,
AEW just bothered me. Yeah, it was more associated with Cesaro than it was Jake Hager.
Right.
And then they changed Cesaro's theme after he wins the Battle Royal, where he slams the Big Show over the top rope. Wins that battle royal. The next night they change his music, and then they give him Paul Heyman, which should be a better idea, but it's not because Vince got bored with it. And I don't know. The misbooking of Cesaro still irks me, but Cesaro is going to go down as like an Arn Anderson or a Bobby Eaton. Like, great talent, was never the world champion.
Yep.
Great in all spots, but just they never made him the world champion, which we have two brands. We can't have him pull an upset.
Yeah,
he's a tag team champion again.
Right, right.
This whole thing that annoyed me is I just see too many WWE people, and the agenda seems more about proving WWE wrong than it is promoting what AEW was based on, and that's the Elite, that's Kenny Omega, that's the Bucks, Cody because he's leading the production meetings. Oh, but he can't challenge for the world title. He's the martyr. You know, he's got this unfinished TV title, and he's just like, he's now beating all the independent wrestlers because he wants to. I don't know.
Well, yeah, and that's I was going to talk about that in a second with Cody. You know, and I know the Kenny Omega thing.
It just bugs me. It just
bugs me. And I get it. And Kenny Omega, too, like, I'm sorry, like, he sucks. It sucks right now to see him in that position. And it's only fitting to have Paige turn on him. and have a feud. And it just, that would be the most sensible thing to do here for Kenny Omega, but he's done nothing in AEW for me. And you're right. You talk about that, that dark AEW dark, match there after dark in Boston. That was awesome. The no holds barred one, the unsanctioned one, but you know, it was a weak standing, and yeah, MJF looks like he's going to win. I think if they were smart, and Cody, yeah, he's just beating up on these guys, not under contract for the TNT title. Have one of these guys beat Cody. Go in there real quick, knock him out 30 seconds or less, and have the upset right there against Cody to win the TNT championship. That would shock everyone. And that, I think, would garner more interest right there for that title, build it up more. And sure, Cody, what is he, 60-1? Is that what it is? Or right? That's his record.
No, I think he's got like 24 wins or something like that.
Feels like it, whatever the hell it is. But it just, I, you know what? Have someone upset the guy who they've built up as, you know, this powerful, I think, the face of AEW. Do it right there. Now is an opportunity to take advantage of it and try something new. Give it a shot. Because yeah, they're trying to do whatever they can to show that they're better than WWE. This is the best opportunity. I think that's the best opportunity right there, especially for a young talent like that. And you know what? Maybe you get something out of it with ratings too. Never know. See how it goes before you get a crowd back. But knock off Cody and have a new TNT champion.
I mean, I'm fine with MJF being the world champion at some point. It's just now is too soon.
Too early.
Now is too soon. And to AEW's credit, it's not a WWE guy.
It's not. It's not. And then the other thing too, like if you do have MJF win, I think you do it at the first show where the crowd's back.
Yeah, because you can get somebody to throw a drink at him.
Exactly. He's the
and
best.
That's what you want. That's what you want. You want that natural hateful reaction.
Yep.
And by the way, shouldn't MJF be going after Cody's title first, and then he wins on Cody, or because he's already beaten Cody, like he just goes right for the world title.
So that's the thing. So if he is to lose the world title,
or there's no so Cody was on a conference call months ago, and he's like, "Oh, these aren't secondary titles. Like they're all the same. Like no, they're not."
It's
no,
the Intercontinental title. It's the Intercontinental title.
It's a secondary title. Like yeah. The TNT title is a TV title that you pushed for, mm-hmm. and that he pushed for to make himself champion because he can't be the world champion, right. Which he could, and he could turn villainous, but he can't handle being a bad guy.
Right.
So he had to do this because he needs the cheers and the adulation and yay. And
yeah.
He needs control, but he can't do the world title thing.
I mean, I like Cody as a TNT champion.
Yeah, we like Cody.
I have no issue with him being the champion, but the first champion, but I think it would be more important for a young guy to come in there without the contract and knock him out. That would send shockwaves for AEW. And if MJF is to lose to kills me, I'm about to say Dean Ambrose. John Moxley, if he is to lose to him, then go right after Cody and say, "Hey, I'm your daddy, Cody. I'm the guy that restrained you from going for the world title. Now I'm coming after your TNT title." That would be a good build up too. So you have that possibility if they're going to keep the title on John Moxley.
But it's okay. So Moxley beats MJF.
Mm-hmm.
Then who? Are we doing a Jericho rematch? Are we doing a Kenny Omega match? Are we doing Hangman Page?
That Darby Allin, maybe?
Darby Allin fights Moxley this week. Does anybody think that Darby Allin is going to beat John Moxley?
Okay. No chance in hell. No. Because
you're not going to go into a pay-per-view with Darby Allin versus MJF.
Throwing stuff at you. But I'd go back to Jericho. He was a stable champion. He was a first ever one. And you know what? Without a crowd, it's a comfortable setting right there if you are going to have the title off Moxley. If they're going to go that route there, I think they're better when they have the heel as the champion AEW, because there are so many heels in AEW. We know that. There's no real prominent babyface. I still can't think of an absolute. I mean, they tell you they are, but they can turn heel anytime, and I don't see that prominent babyface in AEW. So I think it makes perfect sense for Jericho to take the title off Moxley down the line and build up a babyface to then go after Jericho.
Jericho's in a program with Orange Cassidy. He's not available for the world title right now.
It's going to be a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't care about that either. I think I have no interest in the Orange Cassidy Jericho thing.
Yeah, Orange Cassidy needs a crowd.
Doesn't do it.
Great talent. Just he needs a crowd to help him out, and Cody needs a crowd to help him out too.
Oh yeah, of course. They're doing the best.
Yeah, we're all doing the best we can because we're all in this together.
Yeah.
That's it. Mike, do you have a Riley round for us today?
Let's go. You ready? So we're talking about.
Of course, I'm ready.
All right. So we're talking about AEW here, and I thought about this. If you were to have an AEW superstar, say we had AEW versus NXT on an actual Wednesday night war cross promotion, which AEW superstar would you like to see go up against an NXT?
Kenny Omega versus Adam Cole.
Really?
Yep.
Now,
I'll take that. I'll take MJF versus Tommaso Ciampa.
Okay.
I will take Chris Jericho against Johnny Gargano. Those are my top three matches.
See, I was going to go Jericho and Ciampa. I like Cole, and I like MJF. And I also, if you're going to go three, it's so hard. Moxley and, I don't know, maybe Keith Lee. I'd be okay with that. So, but yeah, okay. Now, how about a step further? AEW with a Raw SmackDown, too.
I want to see Kenny Omega versus AJ Styles on a bigger TV, on a bigger platform on the local TV. I think they've done New Japan matches or Ring of Honor matches. I know that they've been in the ring together, across from people. I just would want to see it on a bigger platform. I would want to see if Triple H would put over Cody. I would want to see if that would be a thing.
Oh, that would be good. That'd be good TV.
I think somebody once told me that if Cody were ever to go back to WWE, that he would want in writing in his contract a Royal Rumble win and a WrestleMania win
for the title. Okay.
So he could shove it up Vince's ass his dad in polka dots.
Wow.
I think somebody told me that.
Nice. That'd be good. Okay. Good stuff. All right. So Kurt Angle.
Oh, and I would want to see Young Bucks versus the Usos.
That'd be a good one. That'd be a good one for the Raw SmackDown side. Yep. How about no one on the women's side there, huh? You wouldn't go anyone on the women's division? AEW's women's division is pretty weak.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, if AEW got Tessa Blanchard, I'd say Tessa Blanchard versus the world. But
yeah.
Okay. There's a match at some point with Tessa Blanchard versus Charlotte. And there's no news on Tessa Blanchard, by the way. I think she's getting married. I think she's getting married this summer. So if she has signed somewhere, and maybe she revealed this on our Patreon page, but I haven't seen it on any of the websites. Nobody's told me anything. But Tessa Blanchard, I think, is getting married. It wouldn't shock me if she signed quietly with somebody. Because keep in mind, AEW has signed a bunch of people very quietly, and it hasn't gotten out until they've hit TV.
Mm-hmm.
So just something to keep in the back of your mind.
Okay. All right. Just real quick on the AEW Raw SmackDown, to go back to that, my Riley round there. One match I'd like to see, I think they'd do awesome on the promos, Matt Hardy and Kevin Owens. What do you think of that?
Oh, they'd be tremendous.
Is that a dream match or what? Like for promos and everything? I'd love that one. I just thought of that. I'm like, bring me that. Give me that any day of the week. All right. So how about this one? Kurt Angle recently said on what show was he on? With Denise Salcedo for Instant Culture, praising Ronda Rousey for her rookie year in the WWE. Angle said that her work in the year she was in WWE was better. It was a better rookie year than Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar than their rookie years. Do you agree with that statement or do you disagree with that?
Better than Kurt Angle, I would say yes. Better than Brock Lesnar, I would say no.
Really?
Brock Lesnar's first full year, he became the WWE champion in, I think, by SummerSlam. If he debuted the night after WrestleMania, he was the champ by SummerSlam.
Beat the Rock.
He just pulled those people and won the Rumble and was in the main event against Kurt Angle.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that's a good year. Ronda was the women's champion by SummerSlam. So yeah, that's comparable. But the difference between and why I would actually, you know what? I would put Ronda first. And here's why. Because if Ronda Rousey doesn't go to WWE,
yeah,
they don't get the women's evolution doesn't get their own pay-per-view.
Yep.
And they don't main event WrestleMania.
Exactly.
And so the Kurt Angle impact, while big, the Brock Lesnar impact, while big, Ronda Rousey cemented the women as main event people, and she transferred that mainstream star power to Charlotte and Becky and Nikki Bella and everybody who's on that women's only pay-per-view.
Right.
And then the WrestleMania main event. So now they can say that they had a WrestleMania women's main event.
Yep.
So I would say Kurt Angle's right. Ronda Rousey had the best rookie year.
And that's where I am with you too, because yes, it was a huge deal. It was cemented that woman's legacy right there. Brock Lesnar, again, yeah, he did beat The Rock at that SummerSlam there. He did lose the title after that, but then he does go and wins the Royal Rumble 2003, actually in Boston, to get to Kurt Angle at Mania 19, which was a great match, we know. But yeah, I think the Ronda Rousey one right there, a pioneer, I guess you could say, for carrying the torch for women's main events in pro wrestling, a huge deal. And already with that star power, a lot of pressure on her, but it worked. She was able to talk the talk and certainly walk the walk. There you go. And finally, here we go. Do you remember years ago, SummerSlam used to be on a Monday night? Remember that? It was Monday nights.
So that would have been the early going. Yeah. That would have been 88, 89, maybe 90. But yeah.
And 91.
They used to have, because SummerSlam 88 was Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
And they used to do Monday night TV tapings, Monday night matches at Madison Square Garden.
Yep. And they had the 91 was also a Monday night too, the match made in hell and heaven. What do you think about bringing SummerSlam back to a Monday night? Say, I mean, it's not, it probably won't happen with Raw, but bring it back to a weeknight, different night of the week instead of the Sunday night slot.
So if I'm moving, so no on Mondays. If I'm moving pay-per-views, I'm moving them to Saturday nights.
Yes.
And because, you know, for somebody who wants to go to these shows, I'd rather go out on a Saturday night than go out on a Sunday night because I don't have to work.
I think WrestleMania and WrestleMania may have been that testing ground right there for the two night stop so far, right?
No, I think they still want to pack it all into one day.
No, but I mean, if you're going to try to move a pay-per-view to a different night of the week, so that could be one right there. So,
but like, I love the fact that AEW pay-per-views are Saturday nights. I like
that. It's awesome. More. Yeah.
You don't have to worry about, you can stay up late, or
it's like a boxing. Yeah. It's like a boxing fight feel to it. So
yeah, that's another reason why these takeovers are so great. But as far as like if AEW does a pay-per-view on a Sunday night, I don't go to Chicago last year.
Right.
Right. Like, cause I have a job. I have family. Like I can't just, you know, fly back Monday morning. That's why like these WrestleMania trips, it's like you have to take Thursday, Friday, Monday off.
Yep. It's a vacation.
And maybe you take Tuesday off because you have a late night Monday flight because it's cheaper or whatever the case may be. Because you don't want to get on that 6 a.m. flight, right? Exactly. You want to get on that 8 p.m. flight because maybe you want to party in New Orleans all night.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So the Saturday night, bring it all day long. So there you go. That's this week's Riley round for you. SummerSlam or any pay-per-view on a Saturday night, WWE. Make it happen.
Yeah, I'd rather have it Saturday night, but AEW is doing that, so they won't do it for another 2 years. Match of the week. So as we taped this on August 2nd, my match of the week is actually a pay-per-view. Mm. It's the anniversary of ECW Heatwave 98. It's on the WWE Network. It's one of the best wrestling pay-per-views of the 90s, in my opinion. Top to bottom, about as good a pay-per-view as there is. It's Taz versus Bam Bam Bigelow. Van Damme and Sabu against Hayabusa and Jinsei Shinzaki, who you might remember as Hakushi in the WWF. Sure. Mike Awesome versus Masato Tanaka. That show, just top to bottom, is tremendous. Chris Candido's on that show. Jerry Lynn, who I mentioned, is on that show. Lance Storm. The main event is Dreamer, Sandman, and Spike against the Dudleys. Just like a really good, like top to bottom 3-hour pay-per-view. So I don't have a match. I'm cheating because it's the anniversary of one of my favorite pay-per-views, and I think one of the best pay-per-views of that time frame. It's ECW Heatwave 98. Spend the 3 hours. WWE Network. You pay for it anyway. Go sure. watch it.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. So it was 5 years ago this week. Rowdy Roddy Piper passed away at the very young age of 61. And, you know, you can go through a lot of great moments of Rowdy Roddy Piper's career. Certainly one of the greatest heels of all time. Unbelievable on the microphone. But I'm actually going to go to a match where he was a face. And you got to go to January 1992 with the Royal Rumble Intercontinental title match against the Mountie, where it was 48 hours before that Royal Rumble. The Mountie beat Bret the Hitman Hart to win the Intercontinental title in Springfield, Mass. Piper comes out to the aid of Bret Hart after the Mountie starts to shock him into the ring, sets up the match 48 hours later. It's only a five-minute match. It's a quick one, but it was Roddy Piper's promo just right there at the beginning. You know, we're dealing with one of the original village people here, the Mountie. That's what he says right there with Mean Gene Okerlund. It's fantastic. And I just thought, look at the Intercontinental coming down the aisle with the Mountie. I'm sorry, Jimmy Hart was holding the title. And part of the plaque on the title was falling off. I can only imagine Vince McMahon in the gorilla position. GD, pal, someone fix that belt, sew it up or something. You'll see it actually falling apart right there. Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon here, commentary, fantastic as always. But Piper wins the title, which eventually did set up the rematch with he and Bret at WrestleMania later that year, where Bret got it back. And I think he got it back. Or did he? Yeah, he did get it back. Yeah,
he got it back. Yep.
Yeah, because then Bret lost at SummerSlam to the Bulldog in England. So, yes. But a good, quick, easy match. Good storytelling. Had to do it in honor of the late, great Rowdy Roddy Piper. Passed away 5 years ago this week.
I get a chance to win two titles tonight, but I can't get two titles until I win one title.
Yes, that's right.
Roddy Piper, I can't believe a man, the Mountie, who has held the Intercontinental title for less than 48 hours, can be quite so cocky, quite so arrogant.
Well, you know, what we're dealing with is one of the original village people here, with his mate Jimmy Hart, who keeps kissing the belt, leaving all that lipstick on it. I heard the money out there saying, first thing I'm going to do, pounds his chest, I don't know, hemi something. First thing I'm going to do, says, I'm going to take Piper's integrity. It's like Jacques Cousteau trying to find a dry spot in the ocean. I ain't got no damn integrity. You think I got so far? Second thing I'm going to do, I'm going to take Roddy Piper's manhood. I come here to fight. I don't know what you come here to do. I come here to win two titles. I can't do that till I win the first one. I think you've been dreaming.
I think it's been all wet, too.
Oh, on that note, let's get back to ringside.
Promo. And
that's right.
And Bret was in a contract dispute, so he dropped the title in Springfield.
Yep.
They said that he had a 105 degree fever, which is
104. Yep.
Deathbed.
Yep.
That's why they did the title switch. And Bret signed a new contract, and Piper promised to drop Bret the title.
Yep. Yep. And Heenan just kept ripping Bret for the temperature on the, in the commentary. And he made a comment at one point, I've had 110 degree temperature. I've worked, no problem. And, you know, classic Monsoon, you did not. You know, it's just some funny stuff. Good way to lighten up your life right now. Just listen to that commentary right there.
So as we wrap up here, Mike is out next week.
Yes.
I am hopeful that the co-host who I want has the time to do it. Woo-hoo. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but if he or she doesn't, then I need a backup plan. And my backup plan, and I might do this anyway, is you, the listener. So here's what I want you to do. It's going to be Ask Jace Do Anything. It's going to be part of the podcast no matter what. It might be the whole podcast. It might be just part of the podcast if I get the person who I want to do the show. So here's what you need to do. Send an audio file or a video file with your question, your comment, whatever. If I like it, you're going to hear yourself on the podcast. I'm going to convert the video to an audio file, or if you send me an audio file, I'll just drop it right in there. And you're going to ask me a question, or you're going to have a comment, or you're going to tell me I suck and I'll react to it. So wrestlecast985@gmail.com with your video or audio file, wrestlecast985@gmail.com. If I get 10 questions or so, I'll do it. That'll be part of the podcast next week. That's going to be part of the pod. If I get one question, it won't be in there. It'll be ignored because y'all didn't want to participate, and that's fine. But I'm hopeful that the person who I want to do this podcast is available to do this podcast, because I have an idea, and I want it to be somebody who I think you all will appreciate doing the podcast.
Can't wait to hear it. Can't wait.
If not, it'll be, you know, 10 questions with Jay Stu, or it'll be no questions with Jay Stu, and you get 5 minutes of me, you know, doing nothing, or, you know, figure something out. But I do have a thought. I have an idea, and I want to be able to execute it. And, you know, hopefully I will.
Folks, don't sleep on it. Do it. Just get the questions in if Jimmy can't get the mystery guest.
So we're going to do the Q&A thing, and hopefully and if nobody does a question and answer, it's 10 minutes of me talking to myself.
But that's awesome, though. I love it. Good stuff.
So I have an idea. Mike doesn't know who it is. I'm probably not going to tell anybody. It's just going to pop up.
No, it's good.
Or it's not going to pop up, and it's going to be, you know, your questions in an audio or video file to wrestlecast985@gmail.com.
Nice.
It's a different idea. Wanted to do it. You know, we got good feedback on the Zoom call.
Yeah.
So hopefully you guys will want questions asked, and I'll give you the answers to the best of my ability. And that will be part of the podcast next week.
And keep those Zoom emails coming in for the interest for SummerSlam, right?
Yeah, we'll have more details. We're working out details as to how you're going to be able to partake in the Zoom call, the web conference, however we're branding it. Those details are to come, nice. But we got good interest in it, so I was happy about that.
Let's do it.
So, Mike, do you have anything to wrap up?
I'll see you guys in a couple of weeks, and looking forward to hearing next week's show, guest or questions. But in 2 weeks, though, looking forward to previewing SummerSlam.
Mike, enjoy your birthday weekend.
Thank you, James. Appreciate it.
Make sure that you celebrate age 29 again, and you don't remember it.
Yes.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts from Mike Riley at Sarge985. On Twitter, I am at I am James Stewart on Twitter. The show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. And we will talk to you, or I will talk to you, next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.